I'm Ray to slash a bird.
No quarter. I am going to be uncomfortable and all over you from start to finish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Outside of the Box. And I'm really excited because I've wanted to do an Endgame episode for a long time. I know the fans have wanted me to do an Endgame episode for a long time. And I think this couldn't be more perfect timing after the second Golden Bolt, which only Endgame has ever won. So I have Jack Barker with me to talk about your robot. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been a while. We've been meaning to try catch up with you for a little bit now, but yeah, we just had a few too many things on. So it's awesome to be here, and hopefully we can have a cool chat today.
Yes, absolutely. So I really want to go back, because we, unfortunately weren't able to make it to have you on the Giant Nut round table. And there were definitely things that I wanted to talk about. And one of those things was, I'm really curious about Endgame, like initially in its origin state, coming up with the idea for it. What did you have in mind? I mean, when you actually made it and brought it to BattleBots, is it kind of what you wanted it to be, or did it take time to kind of get it to that point?
Yeah, so for those who don't really know the history of Endgame, we originally built it for a competition in China called FNB, and it was under a different name called Death Toll. So that Death Toll was a sort of an upscaling of our featherweight Dream Crusher at the time. So we'd built this four-wheel drive, 30-pound robot with a spinner and fought it in Australia. And it's sort of just an evolution of that, making it bigger. And then once we'd been to China, BattleBots was like, hey, we're coming back to Discovery Channel. Do you want to come join us? And we sort of improved it from there. So it's definitely an upscaling of our smaller robot. And basically, the way it came about was, we were watching BattleBots 2015, 2016, thought we want to give that a go. And where can we give it a go? We got to go to Australia. So we sort of went from there. Yeah.
Awesome. You finally did obviously bring it to BattleBots in 2018, and I really find it, so interesting, because the 2018 and 2019 seasons, I mean, they certainly weren't bad seasons for you, but in comparison to the two seasons following that, it looks like a drastic difference when you look at the record. But I'm just curious, in those first two seasons, how much were you able to learn? Because I mean, you got to fight Bite Force, and it had that first bout with Minotaur, which was, great. So, obviously not as great for you guys, but, what did you learn from those two seasons to be able to get Endgame to the point that it was after that?
Yeah. So the way we started with Endgame was we made a conscious decision that we were going to do things how we think the sport is going to evolve, not how the sport is currently. So that's why, our first two seasons, we had a lot of drive issues, we had a lot of spin-up issues, things like that. Because we were trialing brushless motors, brushless motor controllers, which, is pretty common right now. But we were, there was only one or two robots in the field that were doing that at the time. So those first couple of years were very much sort of learning and trying to make this new technology work. So we were sort of willing to take that hit and try. We were basically investing in the future. So we were hoping that it would come together like it did, and we'd have at least a couple of dominant seasons, which we've had so far. So, it was awesome to come and play top people like Bite Force and Minotaur. And I think that the team, after we played Minotaur, we went, okay, we've got a long way to go. That wasn't even close. It's matches like that really kind of ground you and really, it makes you realize how much more you can do. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, going into that 2020 season, winning everything, I'm curious, because it was such a dominant season overall, and I'm trying to remember that fight myself, but you had one loss, and it was to Bloodsport. What was it about that fight? Because, I mean, when you look at the rest of the season, you KO'd Tombstone in 39 seconds. You KO'd Hypershock in 53 seconds. So I'm just, it's been a long time, but, I mean, to your recollection, what was it about that fight that it just didn't go your way?
Yeah, so at that time, we still had to dial everything in. You know, it was the start of a good season, but we were still working out the kinks, you know. So we had settings in our motor drivers that, we know, for example, like braking on your motor drivers, you know, when you let go of the sticks, what do you want it to do? We had it so the robot, it would stop the robot. And we think that might have been why that we had a fire, for example. So we dialed that back and try tune it. And it was really only after that fight that we got things really dialed in. So lots of things you can't really test. And then obviously we had new wheels on and they tore apart and we switched back to the old ones at that stage. So just all the little changes that you can't really test until you get to BattleBots often go wrong. So I think, you know, it was early in the season, and the, as long as you make the tournament, we hadn't at that stage, but you know, we still had the attitude like, as long as we somehow make the tournament, it doesn't matter what happens up until then. So we just want to try things and make sure we're in the best position possible once it comes to when it really counts. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, that had to feel amazing, like 3 years in. There's so many people that have done this for twice as long and haven't even gotten close to the giant nut, but to be able to do that so quickly and have just like that amazing season that you did. I mean, looking back in hindsight, you know, what's your reflection on that? Because I think that's a huge thing. Like, it's a huge accomplishment in the sport.
Yeah, no, we were very happy to sort of get there so quickly. And you know, if we hadn't won it that year, we'd still be trying. So, you know, we're still trying for that second one. But I think it's mostly, you know, we have a really, really good team. Like, most of the time you see Nick and I, but behind the scenes, you know, Shane, the guy with the big hair, he's got a lot to do with the reliability of in-game, you know, over the seasons, you know, internally and things like that. And obviously Nick is super smart when it comes to the actual mechanical engineering of the robot. So the team worked really hard for 2 years to get to that stage. So I think, you know, even though, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm here interviewing or, you know, Nick's interviewing, you know, it is a team effort. And yeah, the whole team really brings their strengths. And we look at each fight, each loss, we go through it literally frame by frame in the high definition battle box you get and see what happened. So, you know, yeah, sort of just a development.
Yeah, absolutely. Now the interesting thing for me about 2021, which was World Championship 6, is that I really thought, like, if anyone was going to, you know, repeat and get it that year, I was like, Endgame's going to do it. And I think in hindsight, looking at it, I was like, well, the only robot based on history that could potentially stop them is Minotaur. I'm just, you know, curious, like, for you, what is it about Minotaur? I mean, obviously it's a great robot. It's my personal favorite of all time, but you know, what is it about that matchup for you that makes it so difficult to beat them?
Yeah, we actually learned a lot in the second Minotaur fight. Not so much about playing Minotaur, but about how we think the BattleBots sort of scene will evolve. And I think we've seen that this year. If you go back and rewatch that fight, you can see Minotaur is playing the match for the judges. You know, they're not playing to knock us out. Where up until that point, every single fight we've played, it's like we hit them a few times, they'll die as long as we survive a few hits from them, you know. But after that fight, we rewatched it and we thought, actually, the way Minotaur plays is they're not playing to knock you out immediately. You know, they're playing for the judges right from the start, which is something we hadn't done before that. So we've tried to change our strategy a little bit around that and learn from them and how they beat us there. And then, you know, we lost to Copperhead this year, but that was more of a, we were playing more strategically in that match. It's just, they kicked our butt. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny because in my experience as somebody who has exclusively driven drum style robots, I don't do well against vertical spinners, but for some reason, yeah. So, you know, But the interesting thing about that is that I think a lot of people thought that Witch Doctor was the favorite to win the Bolt in that first Golden Bolt tournament, just because, right. I mean, of them, you know, going out the way that they did. They've been a runner-up a couple of times. They probably really, like, had that hunger to get it, and then you ended up winning that fight, you know, in the end and won the first ever Golden Bolt. I mean, it's not the nut, but it's also a huge accomplishment. I mean, I'm sure you had to be excited about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think it's great to sort of have two big tournaments a year. You know, for the fans, you know, you have a bit of a split, you got something to watch in the off season. And yeah, for us, you know, it was awesome to take home the Golden Bolt the first time, and the second time. But that first Golden Bolt, it was sort of like, it was a surprise to all the teams. We got there, they're like, we've got the second tournament, you know, it's going to be awesome. We're like, okay, you know, like this is going to be tough to do in one day. And it's a completely different challenge. You know, doing three fights in one day is completely different to doing one fight a day for 3 days. You know, it's a massive test of your team's logistics. Like your team has to be gelling real well and things like that. So yeah, no, it's awesome to be able to do that. And you know, take out some big names along the way. So yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Now kind of catching up and moving on to what's aired this year. Obviously this all happened a year ago. So it seems so much, you know, for those of us that were there, it seems like it happened so much longer in the past. But you know, a couple things of note with World Championship 7. I have to talk about the Ripperoni fight, mainly because Donald Hudson brought it up in the Giant Nut roundtable, where he mentioned
I heard him mention that.
Yes, that it had happened to him, and he was like, "Yep, they got it too." I mean, Ripperoni, obviously a rookie robot, but not rookie builders. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very talented at what they do. Did that match take you by surprise?
Yeah, we knew it was going to be a tough one going into it. You know, just looking at the robot, looking at the people on the team, you know, that it's a rookie, yeah, like you said, rookie robot, but not rookie people. You know, a lot of them came from Uppercut. You know, you've got Fred Moore and things like that on the sticks. So we knew it was going to be a good robot. And we thought long and hard about how to configure the robot, but in the end, it didn't matter because it drove it right into the kill source slots. But, you know, it's such a hard hitting robot. And like we learned a lot from that fight as well, you know, like how do we stop going to the kill swords again, you know? And it was actually quite cool to actually take that massive hit on the rear of in-game and have everything still work, you know? So it was like almost a confidence booster that we can take hits like that, because no one's really got there before and taken a huge chunk of it out of our robot, and we've designed for that. So it was nice, sort of nice to see the robot continue on afterwards for a bit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the main season, like, what was your feelings and your takeaways on that overall, you know, aside from the Golden Bolt, of course?
Yeah, as a team or just in general?
Just in general about the robot's performance and, you know, how you felt about things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so obviously this season was more competitive than ever before. So massive props to Sawblaze for being able to win it. And lots of good rookie robots, lots of good second year robots. You've got the, you know, the Riptide coming back and looking absolutely dominant as well. So, but for us, sort of, it's like we obviously got the schedule beforehand this year. So we looked at the fights we were going to have. We knew we were going to play, you know, Blip and then Ripperoni and so on. So we could sort of plan ahead of time and be much more organized than usual, which was good, you know, and but for us, we were pretty happy with our, you know, our, what do you call it, like qualifying season, the first four fights, and how they went. We've had a few incidents like Ripperoni, the weapons stopping with Blip, and things like that. But in general, those four fights are always the most nerve-wracking ones, you know, because you've changed a lot of things on the robot and sort of you never know what's going to go wrong. So, but yeah, I think our team was generally happy with how we did there. Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely a good season. It was an interesting season, you know, because I've talked about this a lot, but I mean, I don't think that it means that, you know, vertical spinners are, you know, they're not going to win in the future, but like, it really did kind of shift the meta a little bit to make you think like, that's not necessarily going to be who's there in the end. There could be a lot of outcomes because a lot of these robots have been able to kind of dial themselves in and bring something unique to the table that's really difficult to fight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing is, basically any robot design can do well. You know, things with spinning weapons obviously have an easier job of killing other robots. But, you know, I think it's all about the build and the engineering behind it. And a lot of these teams that are starting to do really well now are sort of your second and third, fourth year teams that have had that 2 or 3 years of doing poorly, and they've done the learning, and now they're coming in and starting to kick butt. So it's really cool to see. And I think it really takes 2 or 3 years to get up to speed at this sort of level.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, kind of going into the Golden Bolt, I'm actually really curious, how long did you have before, like between your last fight in the Giant Nut tournament versus when, you know, the Golden Bolt tournament started? How much time did you actually have?
I can't remember exactly, but it was quite a while. It would have been 3 or 4 days. So yeah, we took like a day off just to like reset, and then we come back and get ready. So yeah.
Okay. I wondered that because it's like, you never really know. I mean, I was there, but it's just like, you don't, you're not always aware of that. I think everybody in that tournament probably had varying degrees of time between their last fight.
Like Sawblaze would have played the final on, you know, the evening and then gone straight into the quarterfinal of the Golden Bolt the day after. So, yeah.
Yeah. So your first fight was against Free Shipping. And since I really wasn't there for most of that final day and only saw the final match, I was not aware of anything that happened earlier in the tournament. And as soon as I saw you were matched up against Free Shipping, I was just like, I'm so sorry, Gary. you know, I mean, Free Shipping, obviously, it's a different robot this past season. It definitely was very effective. I mean, Gary's a fantastic driver. You know, how did you have to plan for that? Because, I mean, he's just very good at that.
Yeah, so Free Shipping has played a lot in BattleBots, but also a lot outside of BattleBots without the spinner. So obviously we've been watching that, you know, when we were trying to get into the BattleBots and things like that. So it was awesome to be able to play him. I think for us, the for Free Shipping was getting underneath them like it usually is. So when we saw him come out with the sort of wide pontoons and things like that, we thought, oh, this won't be so hard. And then he immediately got underneath us and sort of won the first exchange. So it's you never know how it's going to go. You know, you can never be too confident, but for us, we weren't super worried about the damaging weapon on it, because it's, even though it's a vertical spinner, it's quite a small one. So we were going to focus on trying to sort of mitigate his driving, because we know that that's what he likes to do.
Definitely. Now, you ended up getting Jackpot next in a kind of wild turn of events, because, you know, you never know how that match would have gone had Whiplash had some things working differently. But, I mean, obviously, Jackpot is an incredible robot, and with one of the most effective mini-bots I think I've ever seen. I know you said in the pre-fight interview that you weren't that concerned about the mini-bot, but at least until Jackpot's weapon went down, they did initially get under you and were kind of causing some problems. Were you worried at all in that moment because of that?
Yeah, we sort of made a conscious decision. I can't remember if I said it on the episode, but we made a conscious decision to ignore the mini bot at the start of the match. So we were like, we're just going to play it like it's not there. And hopefully it doesn't catch us. And if it's in front of us, we'll punt it out of the way, you know, and just go for the big robot. And they did get underneath us for a little bit. But sort of the key strategy for in-game is keep pointing at the opposition. And I think we managed to keep doing that. And so I don't think it affected things too much. But yeah, Jackpot did lose his weapon early on, so I don't think they were able to capitalize on anything that the mini-bot could have done. But it's definitely a scary mini-bot. So we need to look at that and think about how to counter that in the future, especially with Jackpot. It's probably going to come back massively better this next year, because they've had so much practice at Proving Grounds now. So definitely keeping an eye on them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you did end up kind of obliterating that mini bot later on. you know.
Yeah, well, like I said, it got in front of us. So
that's what you gotta do. And you know, so you ended up in the finals with Sawblaze. And I mean, that had to be pretty like epic to have the, you know, prior Giant Nut winner facing the latest Giant Nut winner. And even though I'm sure that team was just exhausted after going through the fights the prior day, you know, you knew that Sawblaze was going to bring it. Now, I'm really curious, because I know that there was an unstick that happened And they didn't show that on TV, which I was really surprised about. But I mean, talk about like how that was, because anytime there's a delay, that has to be kind of like nerve wracking and you have to kind of reset yourself.
Yeah, it was quite a delay too. I think it was about 20 or 30 minutes though. They were trying to get the robots apart, I guess. Yeah, so that obviously the first part of the match we were losing. You know, we Sawblades got under us. I think because we got stuck together, it looked like they were winning maybe more than they were, because we couldn't escape and Sawblades couldn't let go. So it just sort of looked like they were driving us around after one exchange. But yeah, then we had to stop the match and work out how to get the robots apart from each other to continue. But the 20-minute delay is very nerve-wracking. You know, you're standing there, all the lights are still on, the crowd's still there, you know, people standing over your active robot, like trying to pull them apart. You know, don't want to trip over the trigger and make the weapon go when someone's in there and things like that, you know. So, yeah, and just sort of knowing that you're sort of on the back foot starting out the next section is also concerning. So, yeah.
Yeah. Were you surprised at all that it was a split judges decision? Because personally, like, knowing what I know from being there, I was a little bit surprised about that, you know, because yes, they did great, you know, up until like, and after the unstick, but then, I mean, Endgame just dominated the rest of that fight. So to me, I thought it seemed pretty clear, but I'm just curious to get your thoughts.
Yeah, when you're waiting for the judges' decision, you never really know. Like, we turned to our team and think, we were like, we think we got this, you know, like, but sometimes the judges do something completely different to what you've seen. And especially you bring a bit of bias in when you're on a team and things like that. So you don't want to be too sort of celebrate too early, but to us, it felt like we got it. So I was a little bit surprised to see one of the judges went the other way, but you know, I completely understand that, especially, you know, Sawblades had the first 45 seconds and then you had 20 minutes of people thinking, oh, Sawblades is winning. And then 2 minutes of people thinking, oh, Endgame's winning. So I can definitely see how maybe the unstick also affected that a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's judging is not an easy job at all.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, that is great that you won. And I love the sportsmanship after, you know, just like you both really seem to appreciate the amazingness of each other's robots. And they are both just fantastic robots.
Yeah, like, you know, Sawblades is one of the best engineered robots there, you know. So we look inside and go, that's a cool robot, and they've done an awesome job. And it's awesome that they managed to take home one of the big trophies this year. So very well deserved by them. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last thing that I really want to touch on is that, you know, I don't know a lot, but, you know, I've gotten some insight on the combat robotics scene there in New Zealand. And you know, it's really amazing what, you know, I've heard that you've done and like, you know, a few other people have done to really help grow the scene there, because it's not what it is in the US or in the UK, you know, it's still very much developing. And I, you know, tell me a little bit more about what you've been doing there to kind of help get things going.
Yeah, so Nick and I have started a company called Robot Rampage. So we're building a robot fighting complex in Auckland that'll have a featherweight arena. We've got a beaterweight arena and things like that. We'll have all the live streaming gear. We'll be able to run, you know, professional events and things like that. So we're hoping that will really boost the scene here. Right now we've got beetles that we fight monthly. It's a pretty small scene, but definitely trying to blow that out and really make something of it. We're also doing things like corporate events where people can learn to build robots and then fight each other. And yeah, we're coming to California next week, so we're going to be doing some Comic-Con events over there with robots where people can come and drive them and things like that. So we're really trying to make it more accessible to the public, but also kind of build this cool event space and build a company out of it as well. So fingers crossed it goes all right. Yeah
hopefully, because I mean, you know, it's like, even though I'm sure you love being able to come to BattleBots and come to events over here, it's a long trip, I'm sure, for you. And it's much easier to just kind of be able to have competitions where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do have a good community. It's slowly growing and they're keen to build featherweights and things like that. So hopefully we can provide that space to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we obviously don't know when season 8 or anything like that, but you know, I'm certain that, you know, whenever that happens, the Endgame will be ready to come back and make another run for both a nut and a bolt, because you've got to make sure that nobody else wins the bolt at this point, right?
Yeah, we want to keep the, we want to hold the golden bolt, so we'll definitely be back for that.
Absolutely. For everyone that's watching, you know, I mean, follow, support New Zealand Combat Robotics however you can. I mean, I think growing a community anywhere you can is amazing. And please like, subscribe, you know, follow the show, all of that good stuff. Keep supporting Combat Robotics everywhere because it's so important. And just we'll see everybody next time on the show. And, you know, thank you, Jack, for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.